UFC 300 is coming up this weekend, and our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook are the place to be for all your UFC 300 action. They are the official sports betting partner of the UFC, and they are giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bets. Our picks, and specifically GC's picks, to come in a moment. So, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code DMAR. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code DMAR. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you're in New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Please play responsibly. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. DKNG.com/MMA. For eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I think we can all agree the current political moment is fraught. But how does it compare to the other fraught political moments in history?
It felt for a time in part of that decade like everything was falling apart. Young people against old people, anti-war violence, peace movement.
I'm former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. And this week, presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet. We talk about difficult times in America's history and how its people overcame them. The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Mixed Martial Arts Hour with...
Mixed Martial Arts Hour is back in your life on this Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Hello again, everyone. I sure hope you're doing well, and we continue to make our stops en route to UFC 300. Back in the day, WrestleMania always had a theme song, and it was always this song. And I feel like UFC 300 needs a theme song. Is there like an official song for UFC 300 that we could just keep playing over and over again? Is there something like that? Or are they working on that? Maybe they're working on that. Sorry, I don't know. Anyway, this is Stop 2. Great show on Monday with the likes of Tommy Aspinall and Calvin Kattar and Armin Sarukian, Paul Hughes, and others on the program. So I hope you enjoyed that. Today's program, a little bit of a different one. We will be answering your questions, a bit of an extended version of On the Nose, some picks for this weekend. But a reminder, Stops 3 and 4 are coming in Sin City. Thursday, we have a show coming your way. It is live at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, so the regular time slot. Friday, we have another show coming your way after the morning weigh-ins, before the ceremonial weigh-ins. More info on that throughout the week, including who will be joining us from Las Vegas. So it's going to be a grand old time, a lot of MMA Hour action coming your way, plus a full watch party program, which covers the entire card, not just the main card as they usually do. Start to finish, every single fight will be covered. I mean, how good is that? That is tremendous stuff. So as always, we are presented by our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, they are the official sports betting partner of the UFC. More on them throughout the program. Like I said, picks to come, so stay tuned for that. Last Wednesday, we didn't have time to answer questions. And on Wednesdays, we like to shoot. And I felt very bad that we couldn't answer questions because we had such a jam-packed show. And it's been a very busy time here on the program. And so I wanted to devote today's program to answering your questions and just letting our hair down a little bit, all right? A lot of guests these days, a lot of commotion. We'll just have some fun as we set the table for our big shows coming up in Sin City. And so without further ado, time now for everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is time.
It's time for a good old-fashioned Q&A, MMA fans.
You know yourself, Frank. It is time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moment has arrived to hear from the man himself, Ariel Helwani.
Yeah, that's me.
Live from the Vox Studios in beautiful New York City.
We have recovered from the solar eclipse.
And now, to answer your questions.
It's quite the storm.
Get out of your seats and on your feet because
the
here he is, Ariel Helwani.
Yeah. All right, no time to waste. Let's get right into it. A ton of good questions here, and we kick things off with our good friend Justin right off the bat. Hola, Ariel and the crew. I attended UFC Atlantic City and had the immense pleasure of speaking with GC and Rick. Being seated on the floor level, only several seats over to GC's left, GC even approached me between fights to discuss how our bets were going thus far. We both got absolutely cooked, but those fellas made it all worth the while by generously donating their time and actively initiating in conversation. True mensches in every sense of the word. Just wanted to tell you gents again how much I truly value your genuine interest and appreciation for your fans. Ariel, you've assembled quite an incredible team. Viva Helwani, Justin from Jamaica, Queens. How about that? Do you guys remember Justin?
Oh, yeah. Remember him very well. He was he had a lot more money involved in the fights than I did. And, yeah, we both got cooked, slaughtered. It was bad. But we're just going to get it all back at 300. So shout out to Justin, man. I appreciate him saying what's up. Very nice guy.
Love it. Queens boy. Manners right there.
Yeah. Very nice of you guys as well. Here's one from Juan Sanchez. Hello, Ariel and crew. I'd like to see you and the crew's take on the current popular streaming services, Netflix, Prime, Max, Hulu, ESPN+, Paramount+, Peacock, Disney+. Can you guys rank them, not necessarily on the content they offer, but on which user interface you enjoy the most / least? If I missed any, please feel free to include. I'm happy to partake in this. I get frustrated. Am I the only one who gets frustrated with ESPN+? I find it very clunky.
No.
I go on the other ones, and it's like I was watching Max, right? I was watching the Bellator on Max. It was so smooth. And I always feel like I have issues with ESPN Plus, whether it's on my TV or phone. Am I the only one?
No.
Okay. You're not the only one. That is a common complaint.
How have they not?
Max and all these are seamless, it feels like.
Yes.
Peacock,
smooth.
I get it up on my phone
Max,
so easy.
Out.
ESPN Plus, I constantly have issues with, especially when I'm doing it on a TV.
TV, it's like you have to like barge through like five walls just to get to where you want to go. And everything just feels so, yeah, it feels so rigid. So I hate to say it because it's probably the one I have to use the most or get to use the most. It's not a chore, but it's just, I'm surprised. You know why? Because Disney Plus, I don't feel, is as clunky. Dare I say Hulu isn't even as clunky.
Or Hulu.
Right.
Hulu isn't as clunky.
Max is solid. I guess Netflix is the smoothest. Would you say nice. Netflix is the smoothest?
Netflix is good.
Don't like the autoplay on Netflix.
I'm actually with you.
I have
you
to
can't
mute
just
everything.
Yes, you can't just chill for a second while you're trying to decide what you want to watch. You
know, oh,
like
right.
It just starts playing. I'm with you.
Full volume.
I might go Max. I just love everything about HBO.
I will also say, since we're complaining,
yes,
YouTube Premium was one of my favorites.
Oh,
well, what's happened?
They recently put this thing. You know how you can have chapters on a YouTube video?
Yeah.
It will vibrate my phone every time a chapter has started on the video.
That's
just a real slight tap, but I thought I was imagining it. The problem is that, you know, the guidelines for putting chapters varies from YouTuber to YouTuber. So some are just putting chapters on like almost every other word, it seems like. So
what?
Just tapping. No way to turn it off.
Really?
Yeah, and I've gone and looked online. I'm not the only one upset about this. It's just like, why would you put a feature like this that nobody asked for and then not allow us to turn it off?
I do like YouTube Premium. It has become a game changer. Downloading videos for trips and whatnot.
I love it. I actually got logged out. Somehow my account got logged out, so I was stuck with the normal ads. And you just forget how many ads there are. Like, they just pump those
things.
Oh, it's
awful.
It's crazy how many there are.
It's inhumane.
Could never do it. I could never do it.
Do you have YouTube TV?
I actually do have YouTube TV as
well. Is it good? So is that your cable?
That's my cable, yeah.
Wow.
Hook the TV up to the router, so we're running on some good internet.
That good stuff.
At the Burks household. So yeah, it just feels like normal TV. Get your ESPN, Fox, CBS, all the, you know, Comedy Central, the standards. It's great.
Paramount Plus, solid.
Paramount Plus is all right. There's not a ton that I need to go there for.
I go there mainly for the soccer.
Yeah, soccer.
Peacock is good, but I do find sometimes it doesn't update. But for the most part, I mean, I'll be honest, on Saturday and Sunday, we had to watch the main event of WrestleMania via Peacock on the phone, and it was perfect, actually.
I was going to say, I actually really enjoy Peacock.
Yeah. if it wasn't for your text spoiling every moment 30 seconds ahead, I mean, it would have been flawless.
Listen, man, you got to keep up. You got to keep up. Apple TV, seamless. I mean, Apple TV is a good product.
Yeah.
Prime feels a touch clunky, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
A little bit clunky.
Like, dated? Does it not feel a bit dated?
It feels like ESPN Plus a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. We didn't really rank them, but those are our thoughts. Hillel, has Joe Rogan or Lex Friedman ever invited you to be a guest on their podcast? No, they have not. Do you guys like Lex Friedman?
I really know nothing about him. I've seen some of his tweets, but like, I don't know, bro.
Do you listen to him, Rick?
I don't. I check in occasionally. I did listen to one with this insane like scam artist story. Because somebody recommended it to me, but I am not a regular subscriber of Lex Friedman.
Frank?
Never even heard of him.
Serious? He wears
he's the
like
one
a,
in the suit.
He wears like a Men in Black type of suit. I find, if I'm being honest, kudos to him. Much love, not hating, but like the delivery's a little bit dry. And I'm also not a fan of interviews where the interviewer is reading off a sheet of paper, and I saw a couple of interviews. Most recently, he had Dana White on, and I don't know. It just, you know, as someone who loves interviewing people, and especially face-to-face, in-person interviews, I find it off-putting a little bit. But, you know, if you're just listening to the interview, you wouldn't know. So, but all to say, you didn't ask me my thoughts. I have not been invited. Makum Otaku. Kinika, Ariel, and crew, what's your thought on this idea for Max Holloway to let Mark Coleman actually present the BMF title at UFC 300? Justin loved this pitch too. This can't be more symbolic. Dude's a total badass. Much love. Who the hell would have an issue with this? Of course. Honestly, I wish a legend would be involved in every fight. Like, make them the guest timekeeper. Make them the guest ring announcer. Whatever it is. Yes, Mark Coleman, considering everything that he has been through, especially as of late, and even if he wasn't someone who had just overcome all of this stuff, just given his career and his resume and who he is in the sport, yes. So yeah, kudos to Max for that. Kudos to Justin for that. And I hope they do it. I love it. T3. Hello, Ariel. As it was the WWE hour last week, I was curious to learn more about the journalist side of the business. So my question is, how do you construct the conversation toward the quote-unquote character or the human when speaking with WWE stars? Thank you all for the great content every week. When it comes to the wrestler interviews, I actually try to stay as far away as possible from the current storyline. So you saw that with Becky Lynch. Even CM Punk, I never even asked him about Drew McIntyre. And obviously there was a ton to get to with him. When Rhea came, you know, we didn't have a lot of time. I was just kind of getting into things. So that was a little bit of a different one. And had I known we would have been, you know, ambushed, I probably would have started the interview differently, but that's on me. That's why, which I never do, I sort of apologized to Cody several times before asking certain questions regarding, you know, the stuff that's in front of the curtain. But the reason I asked it was because I felt like those were legit questions that had not been asked or answered when he found out, how he felt, et cetera, et cetera. And so, I don't know. I just sort of felt like they had to be asked. But there was a part of me afterwards that wondered if he was offended. I don't think he was, but I was worried about that. Historically, I don't ask those questions about the result, about when they found out, all that stuff. And so the way you avoid the kayfabe answers, if you will, is to just not ask about the current product. You ask them about an angle from 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, their life, their upbringing, whatever, their careers, you get the real. And I prefer that. But I also prefer the challenge of weaving in and out. I grew up in Canada. I grew up watching TSN. And there was an incredible host named Michael Landsberg who hosted a show called Off the Record. And he was a trailblazer in that he, you know, he interviewed wrestlers out of character on TV. It would air, was it every day? Yes, it would air every day at around 5 or 5:30. But a lot of the big ones would air on replay after Raw or on the Tuesday after Monday Night Raw. And he, you know, he got Vince, Bret Hart, Stone Cold, Undertaker in their prime. I'm talking like late 90s Attitude Era days. And he did a tremendous job of weaving in and out and asking the questions that would avoid kayfabe answers. So all to say, I prefer those interviews. And that's why I sometimes talk, you know, about that Sasha Banks interview from 2021 being one of my least liked interviews, is because she stayed in character the whole time. And I tried my best, but it just wasn't working. I have no issues with her. She seems like a lovely person. But it's just more fun if you can try to peel back the curtain a little bit as opposed to staying in character, because you get them in character everywhere else. Big Money. Hi, Ariel and the gang. We finally made it to 300. Seriously, though, when are they changing the 300 poster? Bad news. I don't think they're changing it. Also, quick suggestion for the Parlay Pals. Can we go with some overwhelming favorites slash likely outcomes for this one just to get over the hump? I'm talking minimum minus 400 odds per pick. Bo Nickel money line, for example. Best of luck, boys, and go Bills. Obviously, this question was sent in before we got the tremendous news that the Parlay Pals are off the schneid. But what do you guys think about that? Overwhelming favorites. Are there even enough to go with?
I think we just pick winners, man.
Yeah, we just got to go with our gut. Come on.
Pick winners.
Okay.
We've just proven that we can be super successful, so yeah, all we have to do is just follow the game
plan. I mean, I do have to say, yeah, in the month of April, we're undefeated.
That's
wow.
That's
didn't
a
even
great,
think of that.
Just want to throw that
That's
out there.
That's a great
everyone.
Freaking point.
I mean, on our last parlay, I mean, we haven't lost.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a great point.
1-0 in our last one, time to make it 2-0.
Love that.
The last time we all picked a leg, we won.
Wow.
That's another true statement from you, Frankie.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Here's our good friend Andrew Feldman. Love Andrew. Appreciate his support. Hello, guys. Facing a bit of a dilemma. While GC avoided a wedding clash with UFC 300, actually two, right? Didn't you have two wedding clashes?
Back to back, yeah. Saturday and Friday. No way I would have been able to get out of those.
And these two were in the same city?
Same city.
Friends?
Completely unlinked. Nope.
Wow, what are the chances?
I was the only person at both weddings, yeah.
And were you in both weddings?
In both weddings.
Holy smokes. And when was it a Friday morning wedding?
No. I had to arrive on Friday morning. Okay. The wedding was not until 5:30.
And then you had the Saturday wedding.
Saturday wedding. Also, I had to arrive fairly early for that as well. A lot of hurry up and wait with that.
Yeah.
Hurry up and wait. Take a lot of pictures.
And did you wear the same thing both nights?
No. Tuxedo on Friday, suit on Saturday.
Okay.
Had to buy a suit for the one friend, had to rent a tuxedo for the other.
Why'd you have to buy a suit?
Despite me owning
a
tuxedo. Because you have to have a suit that matches all the other girls.
Ah, yeah, so
and,
annoying.
And they got a good enough deal that it was better to buy than rent.
And by the way, why did you have to rent a tux if you own a tux?
Because they didn't want anyone looking any different. Don't know how much different I would have looked, but listen.
Wow, they're really particular about this shit. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't give a fuck when I was getting married all those years ago. Like, wear whatever you want.
It's usually not the groom that particular things. It's usually the bride-to-be.
Right. In any event, here's his dilemma. Last week, I realized my wife's friend's wedding is on the same night as UFC 300. This is what Andrew is saying. It makes it a bit different, given that covering the UFC is your full-time job. But what would you do in my shoes? One, fake illness. 2, disappear to Vegas. 3, watch on your phone at the wedding. 4, attempt to avoid spoilers and catch up later. That I have the self-control to ignore results. 5, file for divorce. In all seriousness, I'm very much looking forward to the UFC 300 content from the entire team in Vegas. Safe travels. If I may, I would say you just got to go with number 3, right? Watch on your phone at the wedding. You can't avoid divorce.
Sheesh.
No?
Is a wife's friend?
I believe wife's friend was the title. That's a no-go. We're not going.
Oh, wow.
I'm thinking that's a no-go. Yeah. Wow. Like, I mean, these weddings that I was going to, I am like best friends with both the guys, and I was in the weddings. Like, these were like weddings that I could not miss. If my girlfriend called me up and was like, oh, one of my friends is getting married this week. Like, he wasn't even like our friend. He said my wife's friend. If my girlfriend called me up and was like, oh, yeah, XYZ's getting married this weekend, I would be like, congratulations to them.
Doing a little handshake.
I will not be there.
Under the table.
I will not be there. Like, there's no way you're avoiding the results. Like, there's, you could watch on the phone, but like,
the results thing, by the way, is like, there's no doubt. Like, you
no, impossible.
Sunday
impossible.
Morning, get them. No one.
Even when you got home. Or you take the strategy, you make a compromise with your wife. You do prelims on the phone, and then I'm talking, you don't even get one dance in. As soon as that dinner is done, you're out the door.
And what time did your wedding start, and what time did it end?
5:30. Both of them started at 5:30, and like, I mean, it all depends. Like, the actual wedding itself ends between 10 and 11, but then they're going to ask for after parties. They're going to do this, that, and the other. I'm thinking as soon as dinner's done, you're out the door. You're home by 8 o'clock.
That's not bad.
We're not negotiating.
You're going to miss...
Not going.
Well, you're just not going.
I'm not. There's
wife's
no way.
Friend?
Well, here's
no 300.
Here's the thing about Andrew, knowing his story just a little bit. He just recently got married, right? Just recently got married.
Great. Set the tone now. Yeah. Don't get locked into that prison forever.
Yeah. I'm totally in agreement with you, Rick, but...
If you're there and you're just like, man, I don't want to be here. I went to a wedding last year when Big Tom fought last time.
What's wrong with watching it on the phone? Just having it at the table. Like,
you're
listen,
that guy. You're okay, that guy.
Do they want you there if that's what you're gonna do? Let's all get what we want out of this.
And then everyone's gonna come here. Over his shoulder, and they're gonna be like, "Oh, who's that fighting? Is that Molly Rodriguez and Jamie Andrade? Yeah. I remember that.
Ah, so you like this stuff, huh?
Yeah. You know, this one time I was watching. Who was it? What's her name? Oh yeah, when Holly Holm, she knocked out Ronda Rousey. Yeah, Holly Holm's fighting on this card. Oh, I love Holly Holm, man. I remember that fight like it was yesterday. Well, it was a decade ago.
Is this the real stuff? Is this like wrestling, or is it like the...
When's McGregor fighting? And then you're dealing with that all night, and it's just like, you know.
Save everybody.
It's UFC 300.
Skip it.
Normal pay-per-view, you can do the phone. UFC 300, you come on, man. Come on.
Your wife knows who she married. Come on. Let's not...
Do you want to even watch on the phone, too? I mean, I need a big screen for these things. Audio on full blast.
Here's the key. You send an extremely nice gift. You send the nicest possible gift, and you don't show up.
Imagine your gift is the ticket to UFC 300. That's how you do it. I'm paying to go watch it.
That's a great... okay, here's the thing. Like, this has come up a couple times where my wife has had to go alone. You know, Royal Rumble, she went alone to the parents, like...
Well, Royal Rumble, that's...
Wait, to what are we talking about?
It was like a parents' night out thing. But here's the thing.
WrestleMania.
No.
SummerSlam.
I mean,
this is to
punch your ticket. Here's the thing. Is it rude if you say, like, hey, just bring a plus one. Enjoy it without me. I'm going to be a drag. Just, you know...
Now you're opening a door to opportunities that I'm not sure you want to get...
No. Not a plus one
right. plus
in terms.
One,
not,
it,
not,
yeah.
not. By the way, not a plus one in terms of like another guy. Just bring a friend with you as a date, like a girlfriend.
Okay.
No.
But now that stranger is they probably don't want your ass there anyway. You're the plus one to the friend. They don't even want your ass there anyway. Get out. She's going solo, or she's not going, and she's hanging with you watching 300. That's it. There's no other option.
Okay,
if I'm getting married, I don't want a stranger. There.
I don't want that stranger.
Okay, fair enough.
Hell no.
Okay, what if it's like, hey, this is a obviously a longtime friend of yours. You're going to know other people there. So what do you need me for? Like, why do I need to be there? Like,
agreed.
The bargain.
Yeah. I don't know.
You put it on them.
Weddings are a racket, man. They're just always in the way.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, there you go.
Poor
good luck, Andrew.
On their behalf.
Yeah, seriously. Let us know. Kai, greetings, Ariel and crew. Any word on Dylan Danis and what his next move will be? Cheers and enjoy Las Vegas. I do like this follow-up question from Ryzen fan. You might be the only person to care about Danis, LOL. No word. He's been teasing a fight against a UFC legend. Is that how he put it? I don't know. Is it Nick Diaz? I don't know. I know nothing, honestly. Prince Nassim. Hola, Ariel and crew. Looking forward to all the content this week and heading to Vegas on Saturday. I am pulling a variant New York Rick Strat. No hotel room booked. Fly in Saturday afternoon. Fly home Sunday morning.
Who, me?
Oh, this is crazy.
And poker. You know I'll be on that grind all night.
Interviews. We have a location have been, on flights.
I mean, I can't ask, you know, follow-up questions here, but...
I was wondering if he dropped it in.
No, I'm going through... this is all live. Interviews have been 10 and 10, as always. Shout-out to Becky Lynch for totally redeeming herself, Dumb and Dumber quote, thank you, and by not doing her interview in character. Keep doing what you do. Y'all do it best. Looking forward to a solid week. Maybe see you's guys there. So, no.
Is that you standing in solidarity with him pulling an all-nighter?
I'm with you.
Yeah, God bless.
I support this.
I mean, this is a wild move because he's not operating the heavy machinery here. So it's just all about him making it. I mean, that Vegas airport's going to hit on Sunday. I can tell you that much. You're going to be like one of the ones in the Vegas airport, I feel like.
I have done a morning Vegas flight and a red eye home, most notably when we did the interview with Dana, the Strikeforce purchase interview. I flew in on a Thursday morning. We did the interview, and then I took a red-eye home. So I never had a hotel room. I never had anything. And, of course, that was 2011. Today, it would probably take me 3 weeks to recover from that. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, God bless. God bless. That is crazy. I would never do it. Here's the thing. Just stay Friday and go home Sunday. Like, just, I don't know. You need your sleep, Vanessa, you know? What movie is that from?
I don't know.
Billy Madison.
Nailed it!
Wait, when?
You just got to get that thing in the back pocket at any moment.
You need your sleep, yeah. Vanessa. What are you talking about, when?
What scene is that? Set it up for me real quick.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I mean, just want to be clear. I had no idea that was from Billy Madison. Yeah. You just know that that's
sounds gotta, like Ariel didn't.
It's got to be the
even
first.
No,
he's looking it up.
I'm starting to doubt myself.
He's looking it up. He said, "When did it happen? I don't know.
I don't know."
There's Veronica. Quote. There's no other V named people.
Vanessa, you know, was, I don't know. My wife and I say it all the time.
Wow. Wow. Is that made up?
Veronica Vaughn.
This is coming up with nothing on Google.
Fine piece of
what's it from?
I don't
Billy
know.
Billy Madison, but when
you need
nailed
your,
it, nobody. In quote, Ariel Helwani.
You need your sleep, Vanessa. What movie is that?
Yeah, from? What movie is it from?
Nailed it. I can't find anything on You Need Your Sleep.
Serious?
Vanessa. What's her name in the movie?
Veronica Vaughn.
It's such a deep cut. Such a deep cut that nobody knows.
You need your sleep.
I'm glad I said something.
We actually. 1 second. Hello, Jacqueline, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Claire, how's it going? I'm actually on my show right now, and I wanted to ask Mama a question. Is she next to you?
I'm going to go get her.
Okay, she's going to go get her. And I actually am blown away that I don't know where this is from. Let's see.
And I just want to remind you, no results on Google.
Jacqueline, I'm live on my show right now, and I just quoted... You Need Your Sleep, Vanessa. And then I asked the guys what movie that's from, and I said Billy Madison. And now I'm looking it up, and it doesn't appear to be from Billy Madison, yet we...
Big Daddy!
All right. There it is. You nailed it.
It's always Billy Madison, usually, though. You guys are not wrong in guessing Billy Madison.
Yes. She gets it.
Usually. Gets okay, it's another Adam Sandler. Oh, there it is. You Need Your Sleep, Vanessa. Okay. Thank you so much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. I don't know what that was.
It's a bird.
I think I know what she was doing. She was doing the Marianne from Brooklyn from Howard Stern. Do you guys know Marianne from Brooklyn?
That was her doing
that. Because when Marianne from Brooklyn calls Fred, the sound guy, always plays the sound of a crow.
Okay.
She goes, Howard, why did you do that? And then he plays a caw. I think she was doing her own sound effects.
I see that she was. And she's our fact checker because we can't trust you.
Big Daddy, there it is. You need your sleep, Vanessa. All right, so we got it. You guys ever see Big Daddy?
Yeah, good movie.
Who are you rooting for? The goddamn Jets? Remember that?
Yeah. That's where they go to breakfast and they're late and stuff like that.
McDonald's.
Yeah. Shout out. I've seen it, yeah.
In a lot of ways, the leader of Canada is not like the leader of the United States. Justin is 52, Joe is 81, but the two do share some struggles. Trudeau's been in office for a while, he's being challenged by a conservative populist, and he's struggling in the polls, especially with young people. But now, he's got a plan to fix it, all of it.
Among the $52.9 billion in new spending,
proposing a $23 billion program to get nearly 4 million homes built between now and 2031.
He's got a budget that speaks directly to millennials and Gen Z, or Gen Z as he calls them, and he's hoping it'll keep populism at bay in Canada too. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to join us on Today Explained to tell us all about it. Today Explained, Vox's daily news podcast, Monday through Friday in your feeds.
Billy D. What's up, crew? Quick, unimportant question. Not sure if it's been asked before, but what view do video guests see when being interviewed? It's actually this view right here, is it not?
That's correct.
Nailed it. It's this view. Sometimes we show them footage, but it's this view, yeah. Cade, Ariel, in 2022, you said on the show, and I quote, Jake Paul is more of an MMA story than he is a boxing story. In 2024, how does this stand? That's a great question, Cade. I would say he is a boxing story now. I think the MMA angle, at least for now, has been put to bed. Agree, disagree, guys?
Boxing.
Yeah. 100%. Now, the boxing media... Mike Tyson. Yeah, you can make a case, by the way, that the MMA media still covers him more than the boxing media for whatever reason. But, I saw him at WrestleMania.
It's certainly more equal now.
Yeah.
At bare minimum.
Saw him at WrestleMania because we were sitting. You know what's so interesting about WrestleMania? I could always predict which match was coming up next because there was like six seats right in the front, right next to the announce team where they would interchange. So speaking of the Apex where they bring in the family and they would interchange them, they would bring in the family members of whoever was competing next. So okay. Like LA Knight was up. I would see all these people wearing LA Knight shirts and they would sit them down. So at one point, Jake... And Nina, Logan's fiance, just like and Jake's mom. So I was like, oh, Jake, right next to me. Took a pic with the kids. Said we have a big one coming up, and I was like, who, me? And he's like, yeah, Netflix. Anyway, I say
that because it was a TKO-wide thing, huh?
It was an interesting thing to see it all kind of, almost the same amount of people at WrestleMania as an Apex event.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
Impressive.
Hutt, what did you think of Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech? Legend. Great WrestleMania night one. The main event was great, although a little long, totally delivered. Your favorite thing from night one. So he's asking me night one because I think he probably sent this in before. Paul Heyman's speech is one of the greatest, and he is one of the greatest, and I had no doubt. And you know what was so great about it? It didn't seem like it was prepared at all. I'm sure he had some kind of roadmap. I'm sure he had things he wanted to hit. I loved seeing Stephanie there with the backwards hat and the ECW. That was cool. And I love the fact that he went on first. And I wonder if that was his call because he probably knew that the crowd would get tired. Probably best to come out strong off the gate. Out of the gate, I should say, or off the bat. Rick, now that you've experienced the Hall of Fame, and you've been to a UFC Hall of Fame, right?
I have, yep.
You can obviously, I would think, agree with me that the WWE Hall of Fame is a better presentation than the UFC Hall of Fame, right? Is that fair? Certainly more people in the crowd because it's coming off of SmackDown. You know, you go to the T-Mobile Arena for UFC Hall of Fame, it's quite empty.
I think I only have been to one in person, and it was quite nice, actually. Like, it was the BJ Penn years, like, during International Fight Week. And I thought it was actually pretty spectacular. I don't know. I feel like they're pretty comparable, to be honest.
The crowd is just so much
but
more.
But yes, the crowd, certainly, when you got an arena full of people. I don't know. I'll say this. Anytime they've previously shown clips or footage of those old WWE Hall of Fame events. It just looks like such a like gathering of luminaries, and so many people that are related to the industry are there, and so many of the biggest names, and they're celebrating these stars. And I don't think the UFC quite has that yet, right? Like, it seems more like a fan event than necessarily.
Yeah, they don't like all come out. Like, everyone is sitting there. They all
that's
make
a big
a
difference
point
to me.
I think that WWE should do it on a separate night. I think starting it
didn't
at 10.
They used to or no?
They used to, yes. And okay, last year wasn't as big of a deal because WrestleMania was in LA. So SmackDown ended at 7 p.m. local time. And it, you know, it went 2-3 hours. It's still 10. Here it started at 10:30. So I think if it's an East Coast WrestleMania, maybe you either do it before SmackDown or on a different day, because I think that's just late. Especially if you're a fan that's going to everything, you're going to a bunch of different events, and then you have NXT on Saturday morning before. It's just a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but Philly was a good, you know, was a good location for it. I had my doubts, other than the weather, of course, but ultimately it didn't rain, so it's a win. Ryder. What's up, Barry Allen crew? I heard you guys saying Apex cards kill your souls, and they do, in fact, do the same to me. The UFC did 43 events in 2023, 17 of which took place in the Apex. How many events would you like to see the UFC remove? Do you guys think major changes needed, like 7-plus events or just a few? Wondering, because this is a massive issue currently in the UFC. I didn't watch the Rose versus Hibas card. I decided to watch my own time because these cards don't deserve 6 straight hours. We need change. Well, my dream is no Apex fight cards. And my dream is that they just keep it for Contender Series and Tough, and that's it. That's it. I don't want to see any. I don't want to see one Apex card. So, and I don't think they necessarily need to cut the events out, but because of the Apex cards, you get subpar main events and subpar cards because they don't have to sell tickets. So, yeah. Down with them. Mitch, love from Brookline, Ontario. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Tom Aspinall, but you said when Jones won the heavyweight belt that Ngannou was still the undisputed lineal heavyweight champ, but now that Tom has won the interim, I don't know you ever talk about Ngannou being the heavyweight champ still, and one more step further, you call Tom the undisputed champ. Absolutely ridiculous. All jokes aside, love your show and the joy it brings me and my buddies. Have I called Tom the undisputed or the real heavyweight champion? I think because I'm talking about the Ric Flair line from the early 90s. I am the real heavyweight champion. And he walked out with the NWA belt and they had to blur it out. It was a great, 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 great angle. But yes, I suppose technically the lineal MMA heavyweight champion is Francis Ngannou. So yes. So technically there are 3 heavyweight champions at the moment. There's Francis, there's John, there's Tom.
Thank God.
Yeah. What about that Tom? I mean, what a guy, huh? Comes in here, heavyweight champ. No frills.
No frills, the man.
Amazing.
Whole team, no frills.
What was his reaction when he saw you wearing the sweatshirt on Monday?
Oh, I mean, he was like, this guy. Incredible. I mean, I got it on again today.
Ah, I love it. I love it. It's great. Did you wash it?
No, I'm not a wash every wear hoodie guy.
Serious?
Every time you wear a hoodie, you
every
wash
time.
It?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like you're in the minority with that.
Rick?
No, not every time.
Golly.
That's silly.
Wow, really?
I give it 4 or 5 wears.
Serious?
Yeah.
So a lot of sweating going on.
No, not a big sweater.
Okay. Oh, here's a good one. Olajuwon Dream. I've actually seen this one pop up. Good day, fellas. This is more of a request than a question, but can we get the DK League back for UFC 300? Even just for this event, it would be tremendous. Much love.
Done. This event only.
Serious?
Like right now.
Wow. Yeah.
Doesn't take that long to create.
Look at that. The keeper of the castle. You ask, you shall receive.
There you go, Olajuwon. this is a great one. Coleman. Mr. GC, how about a meet and greet at a roulette table? Throw $10 with each fan.
Wait, I always end up getting signed up for these just like money grabs. Like we're on the watch party and Frank's like, no, let's do another chat bet. Don't worry about it. I'm like, okay, I'm the one that has to put the money down. Now I have to bet $10 for every single fan that comes up. What if we did like a meet and greet where we all huddled around the table and we all bet together.
This is a great idea.
What I also love about this is I've proven to be the table game degenerate, and somehow GC's getting roped into throwing $10.
I mean, even going to the casinos in Atlantic City, like I always say, I'm just like, I'm really not a casino guy. And then I went on in Atlantic City, and I didn't even go through all my money. I was just like, yeah, I think I'm ready to go up to bed. Like, I just like casinos, they're just like, roulette though, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Sounds like a good plan.
Okay.
I'll be there railbirding and watching GC.
All my years going to Vegas, I've yet to bet on anything once.
Right when we get there, I think we're on the same flight out together. Let's go straight to the roulette table.
And just
you choose
throw it
color or black. Odd even.
No, that's great that we're on the same flight. I am honored that I get to be there when you step foot in Las Vegas for the first time in your life.
I can't wait.
It's a great scene because you literally get off the plane and there's slots right in front of you.
Are we just in the terminal. Should we just hit the slots?
Let's go crazy. I'm gonna throw away all my rules when it comes to Las Vegas and go nuts.
Let's go.
No skeptical. Rules, I'm right. Skeptical of this.
Can we get a review of the rules?
Excited about the potential.
It's gonna be great.
Hawani's gonna be up with me at 4 a.m. at the poker table.
How about this? Maybe if we didn't, no formal meet and greet. If I'm at a roulette table,
you tweeted that
someone comes up and says, "Yo, what's up?" I'll be like, "Yo, let's throw 10 together."
Did you see Drew McIntyre on Sunday tweet during the match?
Yeah. So good.
That he was like bored, right?
Yeah.
That he was bored and
bored
then
at work,
quote tweeted with fuck after he lost the belt.
So good. Lewis, moderator emeritus, AH and crew, I hope everyone on the crew is doing well and enjoys the week ahead. Two from me, subjects vary. Okay, what's the plans for the show during the Summer Olympic Games? That's a great question, Lewis. You always hit us with the hard questions. That is TBD, still being worked on. Ariel, have you ever cared for / paid attention to the Washington Nationals since the events of 2004? Of course, that's when the Expos... By the way, shout out to Lewis, a Brit, for knowing when the Expos moved to Washington. No, I hate them. It was awful when they won the World Series in, when was it, 09 or something? Or, I don't know, 13? Who the hell knows? 16, maybe? I don't give a... I hate them, and I'd rather inject hot sauce into my eyeballs than be a fan of the Washington Nationals. They're the last team on the planet that I would ever root for. More than, like, I would root for the Dolphins. I would root for the Jets. I would root for the Celtics. I would root for my most hated teams over the Nationals. I despise their existence. And it pisses me off when I see people wearing that stupid Walgreens logo hat walking around. You know the logo is Walgreens, right? It's the W from Walgreens. What are you guys wearing? What's next? CVS hat? What's going on?
Dwayne Reed?
Yeah, what was this? DR? It's like, what's going on? It's embarrassing.
Wow.
Ryan, hey, Ariel, we made it to 300. It seems like a show that would be a blast to go to. With that in mind and you not attending, would you be able to open up about not attending events more? If it's not the right time or you're not comfortable, I understand. Much love to you and the boys. One of these days, I will bare my soul, and I feel like I've bared my soul enough, and it's not some big thing, but I have my reasons, and I've talked a little bit about this, but just not necessary, doesn't need to be a thing, don't want it to be a thing, not trying to make it a thing, not trying to publicize it, you guys ask. But yes, one of these days, but not now, not now. Now's not the time. But I promise you, Ryan, we shall cross that bridge one of these days. Coleman, what's up? Couple quick ones. Do you think Roman is relieved to not be champ anymore? That's a good question. There's a lot of responsibility, but he has a pretty good schedule. I think everyone wants to be the man. But I think if you're the ultimate team player, and by all accounts he seems to be, he recognizes that this is a great chapter in the story, and it's not like he's done. It's not like he can't get the belt back. It's a freaking amazing run. Think about it. Guy has to pull out of WrestleMania in March of 2020 because of health reasons, because he had pre-existing issues and it was too dangerous for him. Is nowhere to be seen till August, reemerges as the tribal chief with Paul Heyman, and goes on a run from August of 2020 to April of 2024, untouchable, biggest star in the business, face of WWE during a very important part of their history, figures out how to perform in the Thunderdome with no fans and feed off of them and work off of them, and wins last year at Mania, and then has the great program with The Rock. And don't forget about all the other programs with Main Event Jay and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and on it goes. And then this moment on Saturday, and excuse me, on Sunday. And like I said, on Monday, Cody means a lot because of AEW, but he also means a lot. The win means a lot because of who he beat. If he beat some guy who, you know, had just become champ or the belt had been passed around a million times, it wouldn't have meant as much. If Cody would have won Seth's title, it wouldn't have meant as much. It had to be that title because it was Roman's title and because that is considered the title. And that's a testament to him and to Paul Heyman and to everyone who made that into what it is. I love long reigning champions. I love long, you know, reigns, if you will, because it just makes the belt seem that much more important. Sammy beating Gunther, I was about to say Walter, is notable and important because of Gunther's incredible reign. So, yeah, I love that. Trin. Ariel and... Oh, he asked me another question here, this guy, Coleman. Sorry. We talk all the time about having the target on your back can be more stressful than chasing the title. Do you feel it's the same in WWE as in UFC? No, different. Can't compare. GC... what are we feeling? Red or black? First spin in Vegas. I love how invested everyone is in your gambling exploits in Las Vegas.
Well, it's amazing. I don't know. What do we think? I mean,
are you actually going to partake black in any of
Rick's,
this?
Rick's big black. Yeah, I mean, I'll gamble a little bit. I'm not going to lose the life savings. I've got quite a bit invested on old UFC 300 as well. So, I mean, if that's a good night, then we can go, you know, tear up the casinos and then just paint the town red. Yeah, I don't know. It's up to y'all. I like doing it with someone. I don't really want to be by myself. So whoever I'm with, whatever they want to ride with, I'll ride. Maybe get weird, odd even. Call it a number. Why not?
I love it. I just love how everyone cares so much.
I'm hyped. I can't wait.
Ariel and crew, you are largely transplants, much like myself. How do you prevent homesickness? I've lived away from home for 10 years and still can't shake it. Tremendous question. I was painfully homesick when I was in college, 01 to 04, I mean, borderline depressed. And so that was tough. And I feel like only now have I been able to, like, call where I live home. It's not easy, and it depends, you know, who you have around you. It depends what you have going on in your life and all that stuff. I don't know if there's a formula, you know, if you're making relationships, if you have friends, if you have loved ones, wherever you are living, it can help. But I don't know. Do you guys have any advice? I don't know if there's a formula. It's just the way life goes. If you're happy with your job, if you're happy with relationships, all that, it helps. If you're not, it makes it all seem worse, right?
Yeah, I think making friends is the most crucial.
Right.
You've got a good group of friends, it's hard to hate anywhere you're going to be at. And, I mean, it's tough to make friends, especially as you get older. So, I mean, if you got softball leagues, kickball leagues, maybe a darts league, book clubs, anything to be able to meet people, I feel like will be super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Ain't no transplant over
yeah.
here. This is a born and raised baby. Ain't no transplants over here. Not this one.
My right advice here would be learning how to deal with the non-transplants, not letting them get to you.
Wow. Okay. Abay. Ariel, first of all, congrats on a great run of WWE interviews. You truly are the EST of what you do. After seeing CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, I can't help but wonder who the next game-changing talent acquisition WWE can make, whether that be X or not. WWE, could it be MJF, Kenny Omega? I think both of them re-signed, right? So not them. After seeing Punk return, would you rule out Moxley re-signing? If not, who comes to mind? Much love, your boy, Bay. Not sure everyone's contract status, but I won't lie. When the Shields music played on Sunday, I thought for a moment it was Mox because everyone was coming back. But that was pretty damn cool, Seth showing up in the Shield and then Roman getting distracted by it and wanting to kill him off. I mean, they couldn't have booked that any better. It's really one of the best. It's really one of the best finishes to a Mania ever. So I don't know everyone's contract status, but there's obviously guys. Someone asked me this weekend about Swerve Strickland. He could be a big name, but like transformative like this. Jade's been pretty big. Cody, obviously. Yeah. I don't know, but they're cooking. Simon, gentlemen, second time, long time. Ariel, any thoughts on the firing of Norby Williamson? Any run-ins with him during your time at ESPN? Yes, I did talk to him a couple times. not too often, once in his office, was very kind. You know, I will say that, and I don't know if firing is the exact word that was used. I know there was the whole thing with Pat McAfee and a bit of a power struggle there. When the whole thing happened with Dana White and him commenting on my take on the Gina Carano situation, didn't really hear from anyone. In fact, the only thing I heard was, why did you post that video? And it wasn't from him. And I was like, it's my Instagram and it's a topic that pertains to me. But anyway, as the thing started to get bigger and bigger with Dana calling me a douche, I did hear from Norby on the Sunday night before ESPN made that statement. And he did say, like, oh, they don't take this lightly, and they would be responding. I was a little underwhelmed by the statement, if I'm being 1,000% honest, and I was a little underwhelmed by the fact that he misspelled my name in the text. I remember that. But, you know, honest mistake. And then, obviously, you know, when it was time to decide, my future did get an offer, but I didn't, you know, I had my doubts. And nothing that was being said to me made me think that anything was going to change. So I'll just leave it at that. But a fascinating story to monitor. And yeah, wild. Also, you said before the reason you're not on the McAfee show anymore is business related. Have I said that? I don't even know. Have I said that? Is that because of ESPN? Dana, I'll hang up and listen to your response. I don't think it's because of ESPN. And I definitely don't think it's because of Dana. Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know. I've seen Pat a couple times. I'm not begging anyone to be on their show. Loved any time he's asked me to come on, and have enjoyed it. Saw him a couple times. He said I would be on. They've not called, and it's all good. But I always hear from people about those appearances, and no one owes me anything. And, you know, I haven't been on a lot of shows that I've been on in the past. I haven't been on Rich Eisen shows or Dan Patrick or, you know. But, you know, reason, you would have to ask them, not me. Define bigger. G'day, Ariel and crew. GC, I wrote you a month ago bringing you aboard the Collingwood Magpies bandwagon, and I'm embarrassed to say I've been in hiding since. We fell to an 0-3 start. I couldn't bear to show my face on this thread. Alas, we've rebounded to win our last two to sit 2-3 heading into a bye, including winning the grand finals match. I know it's been a tough start, but stick with us and we'll guide you to the promised land. P.S. Ahead of UFC 305, here's some Aussie must for the fight feast. Meat pie with ketchup. Love ketchup. Tim Tams. Lamingtons. Vegemite on toast, not purely Australian, but we go nuts for some lamb, chicken parmas, snags, and Aussie-style fish and chips. Much love from Melbourne.
Those are great tips. Got some time to prepare for that one. Some time to think. I actually appreciate him bringing up the Magpies. Was getting a little bit worried. I mean, me and Rick bought in 100%, put the future in on them for them to win after starting 0-3. Like, we were texting quite a bit. You know, those early 5 a.m. nights when we're up watching the games. But to see him turning around, a couple dubs, beat Hawthorne yesterday. I feel like Coach McCray's got him where we need to be. I feel like we're on the up and up.
Oh, yeah.
We were sweating for a little bit, but I feel like we've turned the ship around. So,
yeah. Are you guys shitting? What is going on here?
I should be getting my Magpies shirt here soon. They got the Nike Magpies.
I mean, it's all in the text chat. You're on it. You've seen it.
Yeah.
The Magpies.
Sure.
We put the money down early.
Oh, yeah.
If you want, after, I don't think they play this weekend, but after UFC 300, you can feel free to come over. 11:45 kick.
How'd you do all this so fast?
Do what?
No, all this stuff.
This is off the dome, man. I'm a Magpie.
Okay, all right.
Once I'm in.
Yeah. Where do they play again?
Right outside of Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. I love the way you say it, by the way.
Yeah. Port Adelaide up next. It's going to be a tough one, but...
Can you bet on that?
Of course you can bet on it. Yes, we took a future on it.
We both have futures on the Magpies.
All right,
because of that, it was during our show that they suggested this, and we're in.
Yeah.
Magpies.
Skinny, okay, Dr. Helwani, no more softballs. Don't you think MMA media should do a better job at highlighting upcoming cards and fighters who might not have the biggest names rather than downplaying weak cards? I feel for the fighters who have worked their way to make it to the UFC just to have the whole career and fight history be ignored. Oh, it's our job to do that? It's our responsibility to do that? No. I'm sorry. It's not our job to promote anything. Our job is to cover things. And, you know, it's your job to listen, not listen to what the promoters are telling you. And they should be doing a better job of promoting these things.
I would also add to that, there's an ecosystem for all those fighters to get coverage as well. Like, there's not just one source for different interviews that can happen, different ways for those fighters to connect with fans, whether it be via social media, whether the UFC puts together a package for them, whether they do an interview with other media outlets. Like, There's an ecosystem that exists here for you to find coverage of those fighters if you're so interested. But there's just so much time, you know? Like, everybody can't be covered. That's just the reality.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you said it perfectly.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
Okay. And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wade, hola Ariel, short and sweet. Any comments on the BS that PT went through for Cage Warriors over the weekend? I spoke about it a little bit on Monday, but Bush League nonsense. PT, who I have great love and admiration for, is a friend and a colleague. And, you know, Graham, who is the man over at Cage Warriors, has an issue with him, I think in large part due to the stuff we talk about on the Ringer show and also, you know, whatever happened with Patty, which, you know, he was a part of, and no attempts have been made to rectify it, just doubling down on it. And that's an old story at this point, and I've certainly moved on. PC has had some, you know, frostiness when going to Cage Warriors events. He applies for an event in Dublin. He's told before the event that he will not be welcome. Then Graham goes on Twitter and says, got you hook, line, and sinker. Don't believe that for a second. I think he saw the backlash and relented. And then when he gets to the event, as he laid out on his podcast, The Crack, he is summoned, like a kid in trouble at school, and, it gets aggressive and emotional and all kinds of things are said. And he's told me more, but that's not my story to tell. It's his story to tell. And I'm proud for him for sticking up for himself, and no one should be put in that position, especially someone who covers Cage Warriors on more platforms than PT. No one does so. No one covers them on bigger platforms than him. No one has shined a light. Like, I wouldn't know who a lot of these fighters are, or these storylines, or what it all means if not for him. He's the best journalist in Europe, covering the European scene in addition to everything else. It's nonsense. And I don't know. Graham doesn't like that we talk about the good and the bad. I mean, you know, this is common with promoters. I think he doesn't like that we talk about the fact that he's a promoter and a manager. Yeah, you can't do that in boxing. And I don't think it should be a thing. I don't think it should have been a thing when Ali was a manager and a promoter of World Series of Fighting. I don't think it should be a thing with Ed Soares as a manager and promoter of LFA. I don't think it should be a thing with Cage Warriors. I think you either are a manager or a promoter. And there's a reason why it's not a thing in boxing. MMA isn't as old as boxing, and people get away with things. So, it's unfortunate that it happened. Credit to Graham, despite the fact that he may be unhappy with Pizzi, he did let him cover the event and there were no other issues. And I hope there are no other issues. And so that's more than you could say for others. But no one should be, you know, messed around like that. No one should be mocked. No one should be intimidated or you know, verbally bullied or anything like that. So don't love it, but very proud of PT for sticking up for himself. And he's the best in the business. And no one should be treated that way, especially the best of the business. Slim Fit. Oi, Ariel. Long time, first time. You've reinvigorated my love for pro wrestling. Give me your top five WrestleMania main events. Where does 40 rank for you? 40 might be the best finish. Main events, golly. WrestleMania 3 is up there. WrestleMania 6, although I didn't like the finish, was up there. I mean, this is top five. This is top five. WrestleMania 1 was just, you know, iconic, obviously. WrestleMania 4 is one of my favorite WrestleManias of all time. It was the one-night tournament. Bad News Brown turns on Bret Hart. But, like, the emotion, the story, the build-up, the legends coming back. Hard to beat that. Jax, I haven't watched wrestling consistently in the last 15 years in this whole Cody versus Roman Reigns thing, and I'm so incredibly blown away by what this whole story has become, and now with Cody winning, it's so awesome. And how about the ring announcers? Apologies for forgetting her name. But this is how out of the WWE I am. Her name is Samantha Irvin, and she is incredible. And I saw on Monday Michael Buffer giving her a shout-out. That's insane. She is so good. You guys see her? She got all choked up. The Cody part, but she's just so good. I was actually sitting quite close to her, and I think she's a singer. She just like digs deep there. She's incredible. Anyway,
I'm aware of her from the drops on Cheap Heat. Like, yeah, the good one. Like she does like Ludwig Kaiser.
Yes,
or something like that.
Yes.
And she does.
And I like that she
Chelsea Green.
Yes, I like that those. She. What's the word I'm looking for? She like. Adapts to the different personalities,
yeah.
Right? She makes
yeah, I like
it unique.
That. That's
yeah.
cool.
Just look at Bruce and how he does it. It's perfect. This was great. And even how it ended with everyone congratulating Cody and everything. It was amazing. Just awesome. Hey, maybe some people are actually getting into it because of us. Mike, Ariel and the MMAR team, first time, long time. Ariel, whenever you get around to writing Highway to Helwani or Sweet 16, I was hoping you could include an Easter egg for the real ones out there. On page 107, consider listing the page numbers as 10-7. That's tremendous. Also, big shout out to the crew for the increased use of sort of B-roll footage and showing contextual tweets and photos during interviews in the past few months especially. That's all GC's work. He does a great job. And what about Paul Hughes on Monday saying, oh, you don't miss anything? And I'm like, yeah, that's all him. He finds all that stuff and then the team puts it on the air when, you know, we're talking about it. So it's a well-oiled machine and, I appreciate it more than they know. Thanks for all the content you guys put out. Mike Holt from Thunder Bay, Ontario. Holt pronounced like Torrey Holt, the old Rams wide receiver. Slava, hey Ariel, the fans approaching Rick and GC in the bathroom at the UFC event got me thinking about the etiquette and about etiquette and your preferences as someone who's famous in our MMA bubble. When is it appropriate to approach you, ask for a picture? Would you just prefer a hello, or is it ever okay to ask a question like strike up a conversation? Are there other rules, etiquette that the average fan should know and consider? Always down for a hello, always down for a fist bump, don't like the handshake, always down for a selfie. Prefer the selfie over the, hey, can you get a picture? The selfie is quicker. It's just, I actually feel like the selfie's cooler. It's just more fun and more personal. Don't particularly love the who do you think's going to win tonight? And then on Saturday when I was at Mania in Philly, definitely don't like when I'm eating with my kids. And don't mind someone talking, but then like lingering and not leaving and just asking more and more and more questions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, a couple more. A couple WrestleMania questions for Lord Ariel. During the stream, there was a trailer for a movie exclusively to Netflix. It's odd to see a Netflix ad on a competitor's program. Can't imagine Peacock was thrilled with that. Do they not have a say on things like this during WWE premium events? No idea, but I can't imagine they didn't know. Second, which was the better moment, R-Truth and Miz becoming tag champs or Damian Priest finally cashing in and becoming heavyweight champ? My kids popped Way Harder for Truth. They like him a lot. How great is Samantha Irvin, by the way? Love the energy she brings. 1,000%. She is incredible. Oh, we're at 31. Dang. Shalom Ariel, I recently got nostalgic watching MMA Fighting's UFC 200 rewatch along. Any chance you could get Joe Silva? No, he refuses to do interviews, or Shaw or any of the guys from the old ownership on the show.
What was that?
This other guy's asking me about COVID shots. No, thank you. Nicholas, hola Ariel and crew, big fan of the show. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Super excited for the four shows this week. Thank you. Just looking. No. Oh, what's this? Dustin just posted that Islam is next. Is this a done deal from Adam? I don't know if it's a done deal. You know, a little promotion, it doesn't hurt.
Also, you've got two big-time lightweight fights happening this weekend, you know? Why not?
Right.
Wait, just one weekend, and then you can kind of suss everything out.
Exactly. Hutt, with John Jones being arrested this morning, this is old. Does this make Tom Aspinall the official champ? John Jones wasn't arrested. That was false, and NBC News apologized for that. Jordan, Bill Simmons pronounces your name Ariel, and the guys call you Ariel. Who is right? Everyone? But I say Ariel. Hi, Ariel. GC, if you want to try to explore Saudi Arab cuisine, these are some good recommendations. Masoob dish, ariyaka, and shawarma, of course. You've had shawarma, right?
Yeah, shout out to shawarma. Yeah, I need a full menu ready to go for June.
Wait, I'm loving that the fans are participating with the Fight Feast. Like, yo, this is the things you need to do. I love that.
I love it. So appreciated.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of the last episode?
It was great.
Frank, you're starting to embarrass me, man.
David, your thoughts on AEW airing surveillance footage on Dynamite this coming Wednesday? Is this a form of retaliation? I don't know. I think it's a little bit funky to spend TV time on someone who is not coming back and there's no payoff. But, you know, they may not like his version of the events and they want to show their version of the events. And so, I don't know. I feel like if you were going to do it, you might as well have done it 8 months ago. But, you know, let's see. Hopefully it's not a bait and switch.
Can I just say I'm going to watch it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
I can't deny the draw of that.
Like, yeah.
I'll be there. What my feelings on it are going to be will, you know, remain to be seen. But I'll watch. They got me.
Do you think it's weird that they're showing footage on a situation that involves someone that's not in the company? and to a degree, does it back up? Let me ask. I'm not saying, you know, there's one thing that I just have to say about they, you know, and I see some actual people in the media, which blows me away that they even get to this point in their lives, saying that I was trying to bait Cody and Josh Barnett into talking shit. No, I'm asking them questions based on the fact that CM Punk had an explosive interview on the show saying some pretty damning things about the AEW front office. And so here's an opportunity to talk to other people who've worked for AEW and get their side of the story. And they're like, look, down bad. I'm like, oh, you're so dumb. You really don't understand. And there's probably a reason why you all have never accomplished anything in your career and won't ever accomplish anything in your career. But that being said, does he, in your opinion, feel validated, Punk? I've not asked him this, when he's saying, hey, they're catering to the internet, and now they're doing something that is clearly catering to the internet.
There's certainly something to that. I also think there's something to the idea of, like, without having seen the footage, what could the potential upside of this be, right? Like, other than to kind of say, like, I honestly, I don't know. I actually don't know what the potential upside of this is. If I was in this scenario, and I'm not a decision maker of in any capacity of that order, but like, I wouldn't tell you that much. I wouldn't. But as I just said, also, I'll be watching. So they got me. So we'll see what this ends up being. But I think there's a truth to what you're saying about punk could feel like, yeah, you're just more of the same, right?
Right.
We are not doing the same thing. You are catering to this small select fan base. But I would even ask, are they even catering to that small select fan base? Do they care to see this?
Like, oh yeah, they care to see 1,000. I mean, have you seen these people? Yes, 1,000%.
So the AEW fans are the ones who say release the footage. That is the contingent.
Oh hell yeah. Okay. They hate CM
then
Punk.
Then they're getting what they want. Let's see it.
He has,
but why? This is what I don't get. If you hate CM Punk, why are you so sure that this is going to make CM Punk look bad?
They are convinced that everything he said was a lie and that he was just trying to slander and blah blah blah.
Here's what I suspect will happen. Is that we will not see unedited footage in a long sequence. I could be wrong, and credit to them if that's not. But I feel like we will see selections of it. And I don't want to ultimately see that, but again, I'll be there. I'll be watching.
You know, ultimately, Punk does admit in the interview that he choked Jack Perry.
Just a little choking, no punches.
The only thing that I guess they can refute is Tony saying he was fearful for his life and Punk saying I did nothing. And so I guess that they can show this. But ultimately,
but does that make Tony look better?
I don't know. Like, exactly. What's the thing? Are they suing him? Well, no. Like, so what's the payoff here?
I don't, that part I still don't understand, but maybe there's something in that footage that they feel kind of refutes something. So I'm interested to see it.
Here's the thing. In 1997, when it was the Montreal Screwjob and Vince screwed Brett, right?
Brett screwed Brett.
He did an interview with Jim Ross the following day. It might have been a week later or the following day. I don't exactly remember, but it was definitely within those 8 days. And he said, we didn't screw Brett. I didn't screw Brett. Brett screwed Brett. And that was the birth of the Mr. McMahon character, right?
Yeah.
And he used that incident to really help propel WWE back into a prominent position. He didn't do it 8 months later. And Tony Khan, much respect, all due respect, isn't the personality that Vince is. So can they use this? This will be worth doing if you could turn this into an angle to make money and get people invested in your characters. If it's just, hey, we want to say our side of the story, this guy's a liar, and then it's on to the next segment, I don't know if it's worth doing it 8 months later.
There's an argument to be made, though, only to play devil's advocate, that even at the time when it happened, they thought that this looks better for AEW than it does for CM Punk. And the reason to not release it at that time was because CM Punk was still on the roster and therefore you hold it. And now that
he was on the roster for 3 days, 3 days after.
Yeah, but isn't there...
You could have done it in September. You could have done it in October, November, December. You could have done it in November when he came back. You could have... Like, now you're doing it...
Playing nice. And now the gloves are off. And let's see.
All right.
I'm with you, though. Ultimately, I don't think there's going to be much upside to this. But
look, I can
curious.
Understand the AEW fan saying, yeah, stick it to him. And I can understand the WWE fan saying, this is petty nonsense and you're proving him right. I get both sides. It just depends what side of the tribal table you're sitting at. You know? It's true. It's like this whole thing is so bizarre and quite foreign to us in the MMA world because like you see these people that are just so passionate, which I love, but also so blinded by their passion that they can never see the other side.
By the way, nothing's going to change. They're going to show this footage.
Yes.
And then the people who thought it's great for AEW are going to think it's great for AEW, and the people who think it's not are not. There will be no change of sides here.
Last one, Ariel from Adam. Sorry to hear about Julius Randle. Bummer. What are your thoughts on the Knicks the rest of the season? Fantastic. We'll get that 2 seed. We're rolling. Mitch, OG, let's go. Can't wait. All right. Thank you to everyone for the questions. 39, not bad.
Do one more. Come on. 40?
Oh, you don't like that?
I hate ending on 39. Just pull a random one out.
Okay. I mean, I've honestly... Wait for it.
That's a little cameo by me there. Just looking down, pecking away at the old keyboard.
Hey, working hard. Cole, good day, Aaron and crew. Great one to end on. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most terrified, how scared are you of Kayla Harrison not making weight on Friday? Have you spoken to her much leading up to this fight week, Ariel? Much love from Texas. Famous last words, Kayla Harrison is a pro. Kayla Harrison is a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. Kayla Harrison is a former PFL champion. Kayla Harrison will make the weight. Does she decide at some point that this was a miserable experience and she never wants to do it again? Perhaps. But I feel confident in saying she will make the weight. Will I be proven wrong come Friday? Perhaps. But right now, I'm a one. I'm not nervous.
I'm extremely confident she will make the weight. What toll that has, what sacrifices need to be made to make that, that's a completely different conversation. But to your point, like, she is the pro of pros, and I am very confident she will make the weight.
Part of what makes this particular fight so interesting, it's not just the weight cut, it's not just the weigh in, it's what does the weight cut and weigh in do for her on Saturday, or do that's to it. Her on Saturday.
That's it.
Thank you to everyone for the questions. Much love. A quick reminder that thank you so very much to DraftKings. And now the floor is yours. I believe you have said every card, right? Or every fight on the card? Is that?
No, not doing every fight on the card.
Oh, okay.
Just betting with my heart, though.
Yeah.
We're looking to either break the bank and be very happy or, be out on the streets and be very depressed. So, betting with the heart this weekend. Didn't even watch much tape. I mean, you know every one of these fighters on the card. So let's get right into it. We start. Jim Effing Miller, baby. That's what we're going with as a fairly big underdog. 9 straight wins by finish for Jim Miller. Obviously, some losses mixed in there. But his last 9 wins have all come by way of finish. Bobby Green knocked out in his last 3 losses as well. I like the durability of Jim Miller. I like that he hits hard. I think this stays mostly on the feet, but I like the ground advantage for him as well. I think 12 wins by submission, maybe way more than that over the course of his career. So if it goes to the ground, I like him there as well. Love the motivation factor. Win on UFC 100, 200, and 300. Maybe call it curtains after that. Either way, I know for a fact I'm going to be cheering for Jim Miller on Saturday. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is and betting on him as well. Next up, Marina Rodriguez, Jessica Andrade, under 2.5. Jessica Andrade, I like to compare it to like the female Charles Oliveira. In the sense, she's just the queen of chaos. 11 of her last 13 under the 2.5. She gets finishes. She gets finished. And then Marina Rodriguez, actually, 2 of her last 3 have also gotten under the 2.5. We've seen her get finishes at the UFC level. We've also seen her get finished. I think this one's going to be pretty chaotic. I like the plus money on the under 2.5. And that's what we'll be going with. Next up, Aljamain Sterling making the debut at 145, backing my guy, the Funk Master. I think he knows he has to come in here and rely on the grappling. Last time, knocked out, championship fight. I like that he's had some time to settle into 45. I thought he was big for 135. I don't think the size is going to be too much of an issue. I think he's going to force the grappling. I think he knows he cannot just stand and trade with Calvin Kattar. I don't think he'll end up winning that match. Calvin Kattar, yes, 91% takedown defense. Petr Yan also had an insane over 90% takedown defense when he took on Aljamain Sterling. 2 of 22, Aljamain Sterling, those two were all that he needed to retain his title. I think he can get a couple takedowns here. And I think he's live for a submission as well if it does get to the ground. Next up, Jiří Prochazka. I think he gets back in the win column come Saturday evening. Haven't seen Rakic in 2 years come May. Obviously coming off an injury, I know he's had ample time to heal from that. But I think Jiří's going to push the pace, keep him on his back foot. Live for a finish. I mean, Rakic is not some super power puncher. He's got 2 knockouts in the UFC. I know Jiří gets hit a lot, but I do still trust his durability in this one. I think he just puts it on Rakic. I think he's very live for a finish. I think he's a very live underdog in this matchup. Speaking of live dogs, is there a man that's a more live dog in any matchup that he gets in than Charles do Bronx Oliveira? I mean, you're talking about maybe the most dangerous dude in the history of the division, and you're giving me 2-1 on him?
Yeah.
I mean, both these guys are coming off a first-round knockout of Beneil Dariush. Just at this price, I got to play Charles Oliveira. I mean, he's won as a dog time and time again. Justin Gaethje, even with all the crazy weight misses and everything, won as a dog there. Dustin Poirier, won as a dog there. I mean, he is no stranger to being an underdog, and he is, once again, at UFC 300. I love the finishing upside of him. I love that he can work it on the ground. He can work it on the striking. Well-rounded. Dangerous wherever the fight goes. Charles do Bronx Oliveira, I like the price on him. Another dog. A lot of plus money plays for me at UFC 300. The Blessed Express makes its way to 155, and I'm going to be riding with Max Holloway. yeah, tough ask going up to 155. But I like the time that he's had to build. You know, last time, obviously, everyone pointing out that it was on shorter notice last time he went up. I like that he's had the time to build. I really like the volume, and I love the durability of Max Holloway. The chin on this man, never been knocked out, has taken the biggest shots from just about everyone, and has lived a tale to tell. Never been knocked out. Justin Gaethje, very reliant on big moments, on finishes, and I think there's a very real world. Over the five rounds, Max Holloway just keeps pressing forward, keeps putting up the volume, and finds a way to outpoint Justin Gaethje. Again, Max Holloway, I think he's very live. And then to the main event.
Oh, yeah.
I will be riding with Poatan, Alex Pereira. Very close fight here. I mean, especially both dudes are saying this one's just going to be a striking affair. Very close. Both incredibly live for a finish. But come fight night, it will have only been 9 months since Jamahal Hill took to his YouTube channel and made the announcement that he had ruptured his Achilles and was going to have to vacate the title. I just don't know. I don't know about the timeline on returning that quickly to take on a guy that's going to go after the legs. And, I mean, we're obviously going to find out. But Alex Pereira, as live as they come when it comes to knocking people out, especially with that left hook, and in a striking match with the questions around Jamahal Hill's injury, I'll be siding with Poatan in the main event. Then a couple parlays. I got a prop parlay. DuBronx Armin does not go to a decision. Bo Nickel Brundage under 2.5. Max Justin starts round 2. And then Davison Figueiredo parlayed up with Wai Li Zhang. And then I just added one today. Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage, ends via submission, minus 105. I think that's very live to happen. Bo Nickel, we know he wants to get it to the mat. And those are the plays. 8 singles, 2 parlays, 10 bets, UFC 300.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Nice and exposed.
Las Vegas. What do you mean by nice and exposed?
Las Vegas. Is that like going heavy?
That means like a lot of bets.
Yeah.
And to be clear, the Parlay Boys pick is coming
from Las Vegas.
Okay, later on. Is it Thursday, Friday? What are people?
Maybe we'll fill it out.
We'll do
Parlay Pals on Thursday. Maybe we'll make a same game parlay on Friday.
Love it.
I think we got to get on the boots on the ground, feel the energy, feel the vibes, and kind of see.
Got to ground myself. Got to touch grass when we get there.
Got a lot of tape to watch.
Yep.
Yeah, Frankie's been labbing the whole time.
Yeah, Frank's been borrowing my fight pass because he just sits there and just pours over tape.
Well, our flight is leaving in like 2 hours, so we got to get going, guys. God bless. See you out there. God bless to the crew. God bless to everyone. And tomorrow we'll be doing another show for you. Who signed up for all of this? Certainly not I. Just kidding. Can't wait.
Me?
It's going to be fantastic. That's right, Frank. Great job by the whole crew getting us to this point, setting it all up, and we shall knock it out of the park come Thursday back in Sin City, the old stomping ground. Can't wait for it. It wouldn't be 300 without your favorite show, and so we shall be there for all of you. For now, though, it is time to say goodbye. A little table setter, if you will. Don't you dare complain. Don't you dare complain. 2 more shows coming. So, the questions today were great. I did enjoy them. So, well done to all. 40 questions. Actually, I wonder if Rick told me to go to 40 because 40 is closer to 300 than 39.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Oh, my God. You know yourself. Okay. I didn't realize that.
They're also both divisible by 10.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What you drinking there?
Just some water, nice. You know. Big fan of these new water bottles here. You know, everyone likes the... what are those called?
Stanley's?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the ice shaker?
No, this is just a Takea.
Oh, Takea, shout out.
Do you know Takea?
No.
I don't know if you guys know this, but this is Takea Mizugaki's water bottle company.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Rick, did you know that?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, he's gone.
He's actually taking a phone call. A very important person just called him up. VIP, if you will.
You know who it is?
Yeah, I heard it on the way out. Very recognizable first name. Some say you could actually just go by the one first name. It's Drake, LeBron,
Madonna.
Kobe-esque. Yeah, Madonna. Yeah. Big power player.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear about that. We're out of time. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions. Appreciate y'all very much. And like I said, show on Thursday, show on Friday. We are en route to UFC 300. We'll see you on Thursday. Peace. I'm out of here.